functional medicine kind of peels back the layers, like, okay, this is your symptom. You have these headaches. Well, let's peel it back and figure out what's causing them. Supplement your body to nurture you through that, find the cause, and then get you on a maintenance program. So you're not like detoxing and taking supplements forever. You're just nourishing your body well.
Hi, friend. Welcome to Gather and Growth, a show created for passionate, growth-focused rural women like you. From mindset work and building strong habits to exploring the unique joys and challenges of living rural, this is a show to leave you feeling joyful, inspired, and a little less alone. Together, we're on a journey of reaching for the most confident, healthy, and authentic version of ourselves, and I'm forever grateful to have you by my side. Whether you're currently running on a back road, shuffling kids to town, hopping along for a tractor ride, or three loads deep into folding laundry, grab yourself a nice coffee and let's dive in. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Gather and Grow. Today, I am joined by my friend Jenna Oxner, and we are going to go a lot of different directions today, but what is starting this conversation is really the topic of ours and Jenna's functional health journeys and just what that looks like to recognize that something in your body is not right and be told one thing and know in your gut it's just not true, and then advocate for answers. And I'm sure we're going to go down all sorts of weird, crunchy rabbit holes in the terms of health and motherhood and agriculture and beyond. I'm very excited for this conversation. So Jenna, welcome to Gathering Growth.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to join you and kind of go deeper on some of these topics because I get very passionate about this.
Oh, me too. And I said this when we hopped on, but I've talked about this a little bit on the podcast, just my own functional health journey and how life-giving it's been for me, but never exclusively in this way. And so after hearing your story on your podcast, Beyond the Crops with Mary Pat Sass, if anyone has not listened to that episode, feel free to pause now, hop over and listen to that deep dive. I just knew we needed to bring the conversation here and go down all the rabbit holes. So Jenna, if someone is getting to know you for the first time, would you give us a little context of who you are, where you live, what you do, what brought you here today? And then ultimately tell us about this wild journey you've been on.
Yes, absolutely. So like Emily said, my name is Jenna Oxner. I live on my husband's fifth generation family farm. They immigrated from Germany in 1885, and we actually live on the original homestead. There's lots of fun that comes with that, but then also a lot of generational treasures that have been left behind for over 100 years.
Generational treasures. That's a great way to put it. I love that. Yes. I'm stealing that.
Yes. I was actually not raised a farm girl. I had big city dreams. Levi and I actually broke up once during our relationship because I thought I would maybe go to medical school and who knows what city I would end up in. And he made some comment about, well, that's not going to work. And I was like, how dare you tell me what I can and can't do. And we had a little break, but then we were definitely meant to be together. And I ended up in a very rural Nebraska. Our closest town is population 47 people.
I'm 43. Maybe, oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
Maybe 50 now because we've had three kids. I don't know what the birth to death ratio has been over the last 9 years.
Since the last census, who knows? Mm-hmm. And five people now live in my house, so we've upped ours as well.
Yes. So I was kind of always destined to work in healthcare. I thought I was going to go to medical school, and then I married my husband, and I thought maybe I'd go to PA school. And I applied one round and didn't get in. And shortly after we got married, then we got pregnant with our first child, and it became very evident that that was just not going to be feasible. So after we had our oldest, 3 months after that, I started an accelerated nursing program. So it's like I already had a bachelor's degree. Now it's a second bachelor's degree, and they cram it into 11 months. That was very intense, but I needed a job because I had this mindset that I needed to provide health insurance for our family. So I need to get a job before I'm 26 so that I can get off my mom's and provide for my husband and child. So I did that accelerated nursing program and I started working as a labor and delivery nurse, which I absolutely loved. It was the best career. It was the only nursing job I ever had. I really, really did love that career. But as our family grew and my husband took on more responsibility on the farm, it just was not working with me working full-time night shift and being there in the ways that my husband needed me to be there. In the midst of me working full-time nights with just one kid, I got bored and we started kind of a side business selling direct-to-consumer beef. I ship beef to all 50 states. And then we had more kids and more responsibility. So it just became very evident that I needed to step away from that career. So I went part-time and then I went PRN or casual kind of as needed, but I just couldn't show up for that job like they needed me to. And it was really hard on my mental health because it's not just me saying, no, I'm not going to come in and help you. It's those are my dear friends. I absolutely loved the women that I work with. And it's like now they're drowning. And I know what it's like to drown on a labor and delivery floor. Like it can go 0 to 100 so fast. And so when they're begging for help and I can't go in, it was really hard. So actually this past January, I finally did just step all the way away and went full in on being a farm wife and business owner and entrepreneur and all of those things. So that's kind of a synopsis of who I am and how I got here.
And labor and delivery nurses are literally like walking angels.
So I had my first child before I went to nursing school, and I had a great labor and delivery experience. I loved the nurses. I loved the whole like miracle of life happening right before your eyes. And so I went into nursing school kind of with the mindset, like, I just want to work in labor and delivery. And that was actually the very first clinical rotation we did was on OB. And I was like, oh my goodness, I can't wait to get back to this. So yes, it was great. Maybe someday I'll go back to that when my kids are in school. But right now the farm definitely just needs me more.
Okay. Maybe we should get into this after you share a little bit more about your functional health journey. Mm-hmm. But one of my very good friends here locally, also a farm wife, is a labor and delivery nurse and now a certified doula. And she is starting to navigate what it looks like to have differing beliefs than like what the hospital determines as standard practice. Was that also part of a point of tension for you?
I mean, that's definitely relatable. That wasn't part of me needing or wanting to leave. I don't know. I totally love all of the crunchy side of birth. I actually had an epidural with my first two children. And then my second one, I went all natural and I had taken my health in my own hands, which we will talk about. And I was a much healthier person and my body just worked a lot better for birth, like crazy when your body's nourished how it's supposed to be, how much better it functions. But I still feel, because I know like the hospital side can get very anti-home birth and anti the crunchy side of things. And I respect the women that go that direction. Me, myself, I've seen enough go wrong in a perfectly healthy pregnancy to kind of never want to do that. So I still definitely wanted to deliver at the hospital and deliver with my friends and all of that thing. But I think maybe not just the hospital expectations for OB, but just Western medicine in general, I definitely started to have a love hate and a lot of questions. And I was kind of angry for a long time about how all of that works. And I don't know. I can start telling my story and get into that if you want me to.
Yeah, let's just jump right in because I think it's important to have that context.
Yes, I'll kind of give, like Emily said, I did a deep dive on my whole story over on my podcast with Mary Pat. It's called Beyond the Crops. That is the whole entire story. So I will give you the abridged version. So the main reason that I kind of started to seek functional health was because I started getting headaches. Well, I kind of feel like when I was a kid, I had more headaches than usual. Like my mom was a teacher in the same school I attended for a long time. And I remember going to her, like I'd fall down at recess and I'd get a headache and I'd go to her room, or I just get a headache in the middle of the day and go to her room for Tylenol or something like that. But then my first true migraine happened in 2012. I was in college. So I was 20 years old. And I was on Christmas break, actually at my now husband's family's Christmas. And it was terrible. It was like excruciating. I couldn't even think or look straight or look at the light. And he ended up taking me home early. That was my first like true migraine. So that was December of 2012. A lot happened over the next 10 years because it was actually like March of 2022 before I sought functional health. So this was like a 10-year journey to finally have enough to get help. Backing up a little bit, when I was 17 years old, I was hit by a drunk driver and the airbags did not deploy and they probably should have. He hit me from behind and I hit my head on the steering wheel twice because he hit me twice. That is kind of a random fact, but I do feel like it's a piece of the story because then I start getting these headaches. My mom starts trying to find a solution. So I sought chiropractic care. They took x-rays. My neck was way out of alignment, like showed evidence of blood trauma to the head. And he said, have you ever hit your head really hard? And I said, oh yeah, well, I did have this car accident 3 years ago. So it took like 3 years for my body, I think, to kind of like, everybody has a certain level of susceptibility based on your environmental factors and what you put into your body and what you've been exposed to throughout your lifetime and what medications you've been on. So I think my body finally got to the point where I was like very susceptible. And now I had this injury and my body overly compensated for 3 years, but now it was like not compensating anymore. And that's when it started to kind of give me red flags, like something's going on here. So like I said, that's December of 2012. The next few years are filled with like going to neurology appointments, getting EEGs, all the brain scans you can think of. I was having like 24 to 28 headache days a month, like excruciating, debilitating migraines. And I kind of just learned to live with them. they tried all of these different medications. Medications would maybe sometimes work, but like I said, I was 20 and they're putting me on these medications. And I remember asking, but what's causing this? Like, I don't want to be on these meds for my whole life. And I vividly remember a neurologist looking me in the eyes and saying, if your head actually hurts that bad, taking a couple pills the rest of your life shouldn't be an issue. Looking back at that now, I wish I would have had the maturity to like question it then. It just took me a little while to really start questioning it. Fast forward a little bit, I go to a different chiropractor. He's feeling my joints and he said, are you on any antidepressants? And I was like, nope, I take a couple of meds for my headaches, but no antidepressants. And he said, well, what's the name of them? And I tell him and he said, oh, those are actually old school antidepressants that have some off-label uses for like nerve pain and headaches and different things. He said, I could just tell by the texture of your joints and your age, your joints shouldn't feel like this. So I figured you were on some sort of medication with a side effect. This is crazy to me because now I'm like 2021. I get off of those medications. I'm still getting headaches. My husband's family has always been pretty holistic and kind of has sought naturopathic medicine and eats very whole foods. So I actually had maybe been dating Levi for a year and I went with his parents to Colorado. We live in Nebraska. It was like an 8-hour drive to a naturopath that they were seeing. Levi couldn't go. So it was literally just me and his parents that I knew, but obviously not as well as I know now. And I stayed in a hotel with them, but that's just how desperate we were to find some sort of help. That was my first experience with natural medicine. I tried some different supplementations, tried eliminating some things, and I would like maybe start to feel better, but the dots hadn't been connected. I go gluten-free in college and that does help for a while. And it wasn't a perfect fix. I'd say like 80% of the time it would help. And so we get married. I'm gluten-free. We get pregnant with Stetson, our oldest, and still gluten-free. But now I start getting migraines every single day, like excruciating. That pregnancy was actually terrible. I was finishing up my first degree. We found toxic mold in the farmhouse right before we got married and we had to tear it down. So we're like building a house at 22. We had no business building a house, but we needed a place to live. And my husband had already built all of our calving barn and calving lots on where we live. So he's like, we're living there, Jenna. Like, we just have to build a house. We have to figure it out. Anyway, so there was kind of an insane level of stress I was under as well. So I kind of chalked the headaches up to that. I start eating gluten because I'm like, well, I have a headache anyways. I'm going to eat the mac and cheese because that's my favorite food. I have Stetson and I think I went gluten-free again for a while. It's sort of working, sort of not. I'll connect that dot in a little bit. So now I'm a nurse. I'm working full-time nights. We get pregnant with our second child. Again, excruciating migraines every single day of that pregnancy. I remember working night shift and sometimes going in a triage room if we were a little bit slower. And like I found a bag of frozen vegetables in the freezer and I was like laying there with frozen veggies on my head, just trying to cope a little bit because my head hurt so bad all of the time. After we had our second child, I got an IUD, which I tremendously regret. My body, like I said, there's a certain level of susceptibility that everybody has to everything. And I think I'm very sensitive to any sort of medication that has hormones in it. I was on birth control in college at one point, and I remember my hair thinning out. And I remember my aunt saying that I had a cousin that when she went on birth control, her hair started falling out too. I got this IUD, and then my headaches are still kind of out of control. And then my hair, it was like falling out. I had postpartum hair loss, but then it was like I had almost no hair left on my head. I shared this on my social media if you want to see it. Like, it's almost disturbing how little hair I had left. So that was kind of the turning point where Levi said, Jenna, this is crazy that you're living like this. Your headaches are out of control. It's affecting the entire family. Your hair's falling out. Like, something has to change. About that same time, like I said, a lot of Levi's family is pretty holistic and has been into natural medicine for a while. And we were at a family gathering and his aunt told us about this functional medicine person that they had been seeing. And she has a chronic virus and she was able to like really improve by seeing this functional medicine provider. So we called to get an appointment and I called in October and their first opening wasn't until March of 2022. So I called in October 21. So it was like a 5-month wait. So in that 5 months, as we're waiting, I actually met you for the first time in real life in January of 2022. And I remember you being gluten-free, dairy-free. And honestly, I feel like it's easy to be gluten-free. I did it for a long time. It's even easier now than it was 10 years ago when I was in college.
Oh, for sure.
And, but I remember thinking like, I could never go dairy-free. That would be terrible. Like, I couldn't do it. Well, joke's on me because 2 months later, go see my functional medicine person. I end up dairy-free for a little bit. There's another little piece of the story though. So the day before we have this functional medicine appointment, I get influenza. Like I was 104 fever. I can't get out of bed. My clothes touching my body was excruciating. It felt like my hair hurt. If you've ever had that type of influenza, you might know what I'm talking about. So I called and I'm devastated because they're probably going to cancel my appointment. And she's like, no, just come. You can get an IV while you're here. It'll be fine. I laugh because now that I'm healthy and like I've been around people that are healthy, it's like they're not scared of sickness. Just if you're healthy, you're not going to get it. It's all about susceptibility. So we went to the appointment. I got a IV while I was there, and I started feeling better through the appointment. It was crazy. It definitely helped me bridge the gap of that sickness. Through the functional medicine, they did a big blood draw. They did a stool study, and we found out that the inflammation in my body was insane. Actually, the inflammation in my digestive system kind of resembled that of a Crohn's patient, which is like a crazy inflammatory bowel disease. I actually have a really good friend from high school that fought Crohn's and colitis all of our middle school and high school and ended up getting her colon removed in college. And so I was like very aware of the severity of that disease. So then to hear that, that my labs kind of resembled that, it was like scary, like a wake up call to me. Like I need to get something figured out here. My body's really inflamed. She's asked me a lot of questions about sickness and this and that. Like, do you guys get sick a lot? Or if you get sick, do you stay sick? And I hadn't really thought about it, but Levi and I kind of came to the conclusion together, like, yeah, Jenna, when the family gets sick, you stay sick 4 times longer than anybody else. Like everybody else is sick for a few days. And I would have like a nagging cough for 6 weeks or something because my body was just, my immune system was garbage. I had so much inflammation going on, which is kind of probably why a lot of my hair was falling out. Your hair can be kind of a good representation of your overall health, because if your body's struggling, that's an easy thing for it to not make, not produce, and to just kind of purge. Through the functional medicine journey, I also found out that I have what's called the MTHFR mutation. I explained it on my own podcast. Since then, I've listened to a few others that explain it in depth. And Emily, you can link them for your listeners if you'd like. There's some great podcasts that talk about it.
Yeah.
Essentially, I have a mutation that does not allow me to methylate B vitamins very well, including folate, which the common or the synthetic way that our country has come to use it is folic acid. So I cannot methylate that. Actually, nobody should be eating folic acid. It's our bodies, it's foreign. Our bodies don't really have the correct enzymes to break it down. And when folic acid enters the methylation pathway, it happens like before those enzymes that are needed would get to it, if that makes sense. That's a really dumbed down version. It just, our bodies don't process it well. When you have a mutation of those enzymes like I do, my pathways are blocked over 70%. So like a normal human can't methylate folic acid, the artificial form of folate. I can't methylate it like 70% worse than them, if that makes sense. Some people might have no symptoms from it, but if, like I said, susceptibility. My body was susceptible. I had a lot of inflammation going on. And now I was eating gluten and taking folic acid every day of my pregnancies, and I was getting headaches every single day. And so that was my body kind of telling me something's going on. This is kind of, like I said, the shortened version. Essentially, I removed folic acid from my diet. I went gluten-free and dairy-free for a long time, about a couple months. It was like a summer and a fall. Detoxed my gut, got my inflammation under control. I ended up getting pregnant with our third child, and I had to stop the detox because they don't really want you to detox when you're pregnant. Like I said, I was the healthiest I had ever been. I had a very easy natural delivery. My first two labors, they were like long, and I pushed for ever. This one was like so short and I pushed for not that long. It was incredible.
No, that sounds so much like my pregnancies and labor and deliveries. Uh-huh. Like my first two before I started my health journey, like very long. Like I labored at home like well over 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
Before I went to the hospital, like totally different experiences. Had epidurals. Everett's, I pushed for 2.5 hours.
Oh my word.
My second, she pushed herself out, which is very indicative of her personality. But my third, like from when I would say I was in labor until she was delivered was less than 12 hours. And I went unmedicated. It was super hard, but a totally different experience.
Right. Isn't it crazy?
That doesn't get us back.
It's okay.
MTHFR.
Yes,
is that where
MTHFR. And it's the kind of buzzing around like functional health. And it's always a part of functional health. It's buzzing around social media right now on podcasts and stuff. They can test it through like a pretty cheap blood draw or a saliva test. So I've heard that people are getting scammed into buying expensive tests online to get tested for it. But like that, don't get scammed into that. Like any doctor could do this blood test for you. It's just knowing what to do with the information.
I literally texted Andrew because I think that this might have been the thing that was the result of when he went through his functional health thing. Uh-huh. I wish I could remember because it would make for a much better connection point. But whatever it is, he either has it or doesn't have it compared to the normal population. And his body cannot process toxins in the same way. So between being deployed twice, like being in the military, you know, just being in agriculture, like his body was holding on to every heavy metal, every mold, every everything.
Well, he probably got a ton of shots before he went overseas too.
Oh my gosh. Everything.
Yeah.
Like, you want something he's been vaccinated for, right? And so he had several different, very random medical experiences over the past couple of years, like hospitalizations, like, and the through line for all of it, whether it was like bladder cancer or he went to the hospital and had like no feeling in his legs. Like,
oh my.
He had was hospitalized for COVID multiple times. No matter which doctor he was seeing, they were saying things like, wow, this is really weird. We only see this in elderly patients. Mm. Your back shouldn't look this way. We never see this type of cancer in someone your age. Like, there were so many different things that was left with a giant question mark. Right. And nothing more than like, well, we don't really know what to do. Let us know if it gets worse.
And that's what's frustrating about Western medicine. And so that's kind of where the divide is, I guess, or where my mindset, it's like, okay, when I had all of these headaches, they just wanted to medicate a 20-year-old with all these crazy meds. Not once did they want to figure out the cause. I wanted to know the cause, but nobody was really interested in finding the cause. And I can't say it's doctors' fault. They're honestly, I used to get irritated when Levi and his family would talk about big pharma or whatever, but pharmaceutical companies, it's just a fact that like they control medical school education. And medical students maybe spend one day on essential oils, on homeopathic medicine, on naturopathic medicine. Everything else is how to prescribe medicine. So like you have a patient, this is their ailment. This is how you treat it with a synthetic pharmaceutical. Absolutely. It's frustrating. So that's why we really leaned into functional medicine, because the functional medicine kind of peels back the layers. Like, okay, this is your symptom. You have these headaches. Well, let's peel it back and figure out what's causing them. Supplement your body to nurture you through that. Find the cause and then get you on a maintenance program so you're not like detoxing and taking supplements forever. You're just nourishing your body well. So that's what functional medicine did for us.
Hey there, friends. Feeling stuck on a hamster wheel of ideas? Ever think, this is great in theory, but how do I actually make it happen? Or maybe you're a rural entrepreneur feeling like a lone wolf, hustling away, but unsure if anyone else even gets it. Guess what? Brittany here went from zero to booked in just a few months. And Jordan, she finally stopped talking about her dream and took action, thanks to the amazing support of the Evolve Mastermind. And they're not the only ones. Tracy gained the confidence to take on new projects, and Callie learned to trust her gut and say no with confidence. My gal, Allison, she has a clearer path forward than ever before. This isn't magic, although it may feel like it sometimes. It's Evolve, your chance to connect with a powerful squad of rockstar small-town entrepreneurs who have all been there. In an Evolve Mastermind, we'll help you boss up your clarity, turn that idea explosion into a laser-focused plan for your business, conquer the doubt monster, ditch your imposter syndrome, and step into your power with a community that cheers you on like nobody's business. Let go of the solopreneur struggle bus, bi-weekly meetings, online support, and accountability partners who won't let you procrastinate. Get things done like Jordan. Evolve offers two mastermind groups: developing entrepreneurs for those just starting their journey, and scaling entrepreneurs for those ready to take their business to the next level. So if you're a small town small business owner ready to build your dream business, have a blast doing it, and surround yourself with amazing women like these, then Evolve is for you. Head to the links in today's show notes to learn more and get signed up today. Spots are limited, so don't miss out. Let's build your dream business together. Remember, this is supposed to be fun, and you don't have to do it alone.
The MTHFR, knowing I had that, it was kind of like the pinnacle of everything that I went through and kind of the biggest light bulb, because I had all this inflammation. So I cut out all those inflammatory foods and detox and helped my body that way. But then sometimes I would still like these symptoms would kept coming up. And we also had a similar journey with our oldest son, which I talked a lot about that on my podcast as well. He had Lyme disease and it triggered something called PANS, which was all of these behavioral things. And it was like quite the journey for him as well. But he's almost completely healed thanks to functional medicine and homeopathic medicine. Folic acid was also a big trigger for him too. We kind of started by with him eliminating artificial food coloring from our house, which I said I would never be that mom that's a weirdo about that. And now I'm a lunatic and I literally will send candy or popsicles to a birthday party or school that don't have dye in them so that he won't have a reaction. And so with that, we weren't doing like Gatorade or anything or even Pedialyte because that has dye in it. And so we were trying Body Armor. And then my provider said, well, watch out for Body Armor because I think there's folic acid in it. And I was like, wait, so I'm supposed to watch folic acid that close? And she was like, yes, you really need to. So then that's when the light bulb went off and I completely got rid of all of it. And so like I said, I was doing better gluten-free, but not all gluten-free foods are folic acid-free because our country enriches everything with folic acid. So like Cheerios are gluten-free, but they still enrich it with folic acid. So that's why I said when I went gluten-free in college, it would work like 80% of the time because it wasn't necessarily mm-hmm. the gluten that was my migraine trigger. It was the folic acid. And then
then that makes sense for pregnancy.
Because what do they tell pregnant women to take every yeah. single day?
Double down on folic acid. Yes.
So I was just like, my brain was already on fire. And then I was just like pouring gasoline on this already super hot fire. And that's just like really what made my migraines go out of control. So I healed my gut. I eliminated folic acid and artificial dyes from our house. And I maybe had one headache during my third pregnancy. So I went from literally having 24 plus headache days a month. So I would go months and I couldn't even tell you when my last headache was.
It's something so simple.
So simple. It would have been hard to just be like, well, eliminate folic acid, Jenna, and you'll be fine. Like it was a longer journey than that. And I had other inflammation going on that also needed fixed. So it was definitely a journey that was just like a big piece of my puzzle. Also, like, so you guys know I was a labor and delivery nurse, so I was trained with that kind of Western medicine mindset and very much trusted Western medicine and did everything that they recommended for me and for my kids when I was pregnant, for well child checks and all of that. But then before we started this functional medicine journey, like also what majorly happened in the world? We had this global pandemic, mm-hmm. which kind of, I feel like, opened my eyes a lot, especially in the healthcare world, because like our lives completely changed. Like we had to wear masks. We had like all of these crazy things. And I truly feel like patient care and what is like what you're supposed to do at the bedside totally went out the window because now hospitals didn't care. They just wanted you to make sure you're wearing masks and make sure you're meeting all the recommendations so that they can get their money refunded from CMS and all of these things. And it was just like kind of sickening. And honestly, like I always wanted to work in medicine and then I became a nurse. And my first kind of anger point was like realizing how much insurance companies control what happens in the medical field mm-hmm. and how patients are treated. That's frustrating. So that's already a frustration. And then this pandemic happened and then they want nurses to get vaccinated with, like, without even questioning it. And I did question it. I was like, hold up, this is happening really fast. I don't think I want to get this vaccine because I was already like, I'm being very careful about what I'm putting into my body. I already get headaches so easily. Mm. I don't want to give myself something else that's going to trigger a headache. And I was kind of ostracized for that. And because I was like one of very few people that was questioning it. But like, what is the scientific method to have a hypothesis, test it, question it? But now all of a sudden in healthcare, oh, you're not supposed to question it. You're just supposed to believe it. So because that mindset was kind of like given to us at the hospital, I kind of felt really icky about it. And I was like, now I want to question everything. Mm-hmm. So that happened right before Levi kind of saw what was happening with my body and was like, Jenna, something has to change. So I feel like there was a lot of like things that kind of dominoed into us finding functional medicine and then just fully leaning 100% into it.
Well, I think you bring up so many good points that a lot of us grapple with is like, what is the intersection between all of this? Because we hear so much different mm-hmm. messaging in the world on social media from doctors, from not doctors. And for me, like my biggest gateway point into this started back even when I became a mom. And it was like, do this with your baby. Don't do this with mm-hmm. your baby. Like, if you do this, surely you're dooming them forever. Right. And it was like, that was my first experience in really learning to trust myself mm-hmm. and my intuition and to ask questions and like, what feels good for me? What feels natural? Like, how do I take in all of this conflicting information and do what's right for our family?
Right. And it is hard, especially on social media, because I feel like there's really loud voices and it's like this really loud Western medicine voice, like trust the CDC, trust everything they say, trust all of the vaccines that you're supposed to give your kids and that you're supposed to give yourself. Like, it's all safe. It's all safe. And then there's the other extreme, which is like, don't trust any of it. Mm-hmm. Western medicine, don't believe any of it. Be completely crunchy, live off the land holistic. And where is the intersection? I agree with you, Emily. Like, both are so important. There's a very deadly heart condition that runs in my husband's family. My husband actually has a defibrillator. Like a lot of people probably don't know that. And without Western medicine, we would have never known that with his family and like known how to protect their hearts. Mm-hmm. And I've used this example a lot, but a couple years ago, we're a little bit redneck where we live and they go stomp fishing. I don't know if have you heard of that?
No.
Some people call it noodling or like hillbilly hand fishing. They go in like a river and they reach in a hole and grab a catfish with your hands. It's like a thing. It's a thing to go catfish Perfect. Fishing. Anyways, my father-in-law and Levi and all of the guys around here do it. And so they were doing it one summer and my father-in-law got poked with a fish, but like didn't think anything of it. Like whatever. Like I get cut scratches all the time. Got this crazy infection in his hand. It was like crawling up his arm. Ended up in the hospital for a week on IV antibiotics. Like he was totally healthy, just like had this infection and needed IV antibiotics. And like without Western medicine, that would have killed him. Like back in the day, that sort of infection, they would have had to cut his arm off or it would have killed him. So I recognize the absolute necessity of Western medicine. I just wish that movable middle, that intersection was like more welcomed, I guess. Like, why can't both of these teams work together in the professional setting? I feel like it's people like us that are utilizing both, but then it's like when you're at one office, you might not want to say your crunchy side, but then when you're at your crunchy office, you don't want to say the Western side. It's just a very frustrating thing to navigate, I guess.
It's a very frustrating thing to navigate, especially when you're not sure what you believe and when so many of your decisions feel like they need to be navigated by insurance.
Yes.
And that's like a whole other conversation.
That is a whole nother
like conversation. The golden handcuffs of, you know, insurance in the, you know, job market or in corporate or whatever spaces. And I think you guys talked about this on your show too.
We did. Because when I stepped away from my job, I gave up traditional health insurance, which was scary because like I said, there's a heart condition that runs in my husband's family. So it's called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. If you've ever heard of young athletes just dropping dead on the court, that's the heart condition that runs in my husband's family. It's just the only difference between this is what was kind of the turning point for us to just get the defibrillator for Levi. The doctor said the only difference between you and that kid that drops dead on the court, and sometimes they live because if it's at a high school and there's an AED and they can jumpstart their heart and all that. That actually happened to my husband's brother. He was 15. He collapsed at school on the track. They knew he had the heart disease, but they didn't think it was like to the point where that might happen. But he overexerted himself. He collapsed. He was at school. Thank God there was an AED. The PE teacher started CPR right away. They saved his life. They lifelighted him. He's alive today. But the doctor said the only difference is that you know you have a chance for it. It's not like you might get cancer someday because this cancer runs in your family. It's you have this heart condition. Your heart's healthy right now, but oftentimes the first symptom is sudden cardiac death. So it's not you might get cancer. It's you might just drop dead someday is your first symptom. So it's kind of a no-brainer for us to kind of get the safety net and get the defibrillator. And two of our children have it. So it was very scary to step away from traditional health insurance, knowing that they need echoes every single year. There's a potential that our kids in the future, somebody might need a defibrillator. Like those are big, expensive surgeries. So kind of stepping away from that safety net was terrifying. But we use a Christian sharing network called Christian Healthcare Ministries, and it's been wonderful. I actually paid less for our third child on a sharing network than I did on traditional insurance at a hospital that I worked at that I got a break for because I was a nurse, you know? So
yep,
there's
too.
Other options. If you're a woman struggling with that and you work because you need health insurance and that's the only reason, and you're in a job that's sucking the life out of you, like there are other options.
Health insurance seems like a really good deal until you look at how much is actually taken out of your paycheck to cover it. And the amount that we pay out of pocket for a health share situation is drastically
different. Like, less, I feel like.
Drastically different. Yeah, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
So what, I guess, advice would you give someone who is listening to your story and is thinking about their own journey? And maybe it's not headaches, maybe it's something else, and doesn't really know where to turn to get answers because they feel like they're not being heard at their doctor. Or maybe they haven't even gone to the doctor because they're like, they're not going to listen to me anyway. They're just going to give me a pharmaceutical and I don't want
them. Right. I would say that there is hope for healing. I feel like it can be very scary and isolating, especially when you're young, to struggle with whatever symptom it might be and think that you're just sick and think like, well, they've tried everything. There's no hope for me. Like, this is just my life, and accepting that. And I feel like I did accept for a long time, like, I just have to live with these headaches. And now that I've been headache for so long, the few times I have gotten a headache, honestly, it's knocked me on my actual ass. Like, I struggled with it. And then I look back and I ask myself, like, I cannot believe I used to live like this every single day. There's a lot of years in there that are kind of blurry, and it's probably because I was working full time and we were busy on the farm and our kids were busy, and I had a headache 95% of the time, and I was literally just surviving. Like, there was no amount of thriving in my life at all. So I just hope that my story can be a beacon of light to somebody else that like there is hope to thrive. Living with headaches was very hard. Going, like, having the courage to seek this help, and then it's not an easy fix. Like, it's not a pharmaceutical. It was a healing journey that took, I mean, it's 2024. It was almost a 2-year journey for me to truly get to a point where I felt like I was healthy. And that detox process was hard, and eliminating gluten and dairy was hard. Like, I love my dairy farmer friends. It was so hard for me to eliminate dairy. But once I let my body heal, I reintroduced raw dairy slowly, and I can tolerate it in small doses. Like, when I was detoxing, I'd go out to eat and I'd say, please don't cook my steak in butter. I can't have any dairy. And then I know sometimes it would happen. And then I would be like, for lack of a better term, literally pooping my brains out within not that long. And I'm like, I can't live like this forever, but I let my body heal. And now I don't have to worry about that. I feel like I can live a balanced life. I feel like I can decrease my toxin load at home and eat really healthy at home. And then if I go out to eat and there's butter or cream in something, it's not going to be the end of the world. My body can handle it.
I think it is shocking how normalized feeling bad is.
Yes. When she got my stool study, like I said, my inflammation markers resembled a Crohn's patient. She said, I'm honestly shocked that you function as well as you do. And she's like, do you feel good? And I thought I did, with the exception of getting headaches. But then the more I kind of started thinking back, it's like, I was sick a lot. I always had a nagging cough. I always had postnatal drip or something going on. Now that I feel good, it was like, oh my goodness, I wasn't feeling good. And something she said that stuck with me is she said, just because it's common doesn't mean it's normal. And I think you go to the doctor and you have this, oh, it's really common. Like, okay, it's common, but what's going on in our society? What's going on in our food and our environment that all of these things that aren't healthy are considered normal? Like, just because it's common doesn't mean it's normal.
In my third trimester, my last pregnancy, I called my OB office because I was experiencing like tingling in my arms and dizziness to the point that I felt like I was going to pass out and all this stuff. And I'm explaining all the symptoms to them. They're like, okay, take it back to the doctors, come back. And they're like, yeah, it just sounds like you're pregnant.
Oh, for the love.
And I was like, what? Yeah. Like, seriously? Yeah. They're like, yeah, those are all common pregnancy symptoms. I'm like, okay, but I've been on this functional health train and I know that there could be a different way to feel.
Right.
And so sure enough, get on the call with my functional health provider. She's asking all these questions. I'm already drinking a ton of water. I'm on magnesium. I'm on iron. Like, we had tested all of these different things. And she was like, have you been taking electrolytes? I'm like, no. She's like, give that a try.
Yeah.
Literally ordered electrolytes on Amazon, took them the next day. All of the symptoms gone that I'd had for 3 weeks.
And two, like, yeah, your blood volume doubles when you're pregnant. So like the amount of blood in your body literally doubles when you're pregnant. So you do need to stay hydrated. But I do feel like I would drink a ton of water my first two pregnancies too. And I remember having those symptoms. I hardly ever drink water now that does not have an electrolyte packet in it. Mm-hmm. That was a huge part of like, I was so lacking on electrolytes, on minerals and vitamins, a huge part of my hair, and supplementing electrolytes literally constantly was a huge part of that for me and for our family. Honestly, our kids, we call it salty water. My kids named it that. They drink it every single day too.
Yeah. And it's like, it's such a simple thing.
It is simple.
Their best solution to me was, yep, just that's being pregnant. It wasn't life threatening by any means, but it was for sure like impacting the way I was able to function.
Yeah, absolutely.
On a daily basis. Like, I would have just gone through the next 12 weeks being like, this is just pregnancy. Like, and it was such a simple fix. And, you know, I think back to, you know, you mentioned them asking like, oh, well, do you feel bad? Like, I knew that I was not like the prime example of health, but I was just like, eh, you know, we were just, you know, drinking all the time in college. Like, it was the beer, it was the, you know, late night food, whatever. Like, I always thought I was just hungover or something, which is also true. But looking back on it, I'm like, what foods was I eating?
Right.
Everything full of gluten and dairy. My body cannot tolerate those things well. And that's literally what I was pumping myself with. And it was just normal for me.
It was. I totally relate to that. And I'm glad you brought up alcohol, because that was also kind of a piece of a puzzle and something I've really, I know you shared your own journey with alcohol on your podcast. And during one of my first visits, she said, if you have a White Claw or something, do you feel like crap the next day? I'm like, yes, literally like one White Claw and I feel like garbage. And she said, it's not that you're hungover. It's just your liver's like bogged down and clogged and it's not getting all of these toxins out of your body. And alcohol cuts the line. So it has to metabolize the alcohol first. And you still have all this backup of all these other toxins. So it's like your liver's never truly getting cleared out. So she did recommend that we don't drink during our detox process. We did a little bit because, you know, summer, we were going to the lake, we wanted to drink this and that. So that was summer of 22. And since then, my relationship with alcohol has shifted tremendously. Like, I've had another child in there. And ever since I had our third kid, I loved Moscow Mules. And it's like, I would have to choke it down, or loved High Noons and I would have to choke it down to finish it. And I'm like, I kept doing this. Then I would feel like garbage literally after one drink. And I'm like, I have spent all of this time and money investing in my health and my body and figuring out how to nourish my body correctly. And now I try to drink and I literally have to choke it down. Surely my body, like, why am I putting a literally known poison into my body when I know I cannot tolerate it? So I actually haven't had anything to drink since New Year's. And I honestly don't think I don't know if I'll ever drink again. I'm not saying I never will, but it's definitely, it doesn't even sound good right now. We go to the lake a lot. I don't even want to drink at the lake. I'll drink a sparkling Topo Chico water and that'll be good for me.
Yep. I think you bring up such a good point. Like once you get down the path of really evaluating how things make your body feel, it totally changes the perspective on everything.
Yeah.
Because once you're so in tune with yourself that you see like, oh, I eat or I drink this thing, I feel this way. Like it takes away so much of the appeal. And like once you're more in tune with your mental health and then your cycle and like just all of these things. And it's like, if I am going to drink, it is like a very specific choice.
Yes.
Like it's not just like a default because this is just normal and this is just what we do. And even still, like it is in a totally different capacity than I ever would have previously.
Right.
Because it's just not worth it anymore. But once you get to the point that you are really evaluating what's coming into your body, whether it's foods, drinks, medications, you know, stuff that impacts your mental health, your movement, like who you're following, like who you're surrounding yourself with, like it is such an intertangled journey.
Yeah.
Like it just affects everything.
I agree. And so like, you know, I eliminated gluten and dairy and then we were be at the lake in the summer and we'd snack on different things. So like you can't eat gluten or dairy. So I'm eating chips and I would still feel like crap and I would bloat. Like I have some pictures where I'm so bloated. I literally look 30 weeks pregnant. I actually came by one of those pictures not that long ago and I showed it to Levi and he said, oh, and I was like, I'm not pregnant with one of our kids right there. That was literally bloating, Levi. I figured out it's like there's a lot of buzz on social media too about seed oils. And I just started paying attention to that because the chips that we were eating had seed oils in it. I was doing everything else right. I would eat those chips and I would bloat unbelievably and I'd feel like garbage and wouldn't sleep good that night. So that's kind of been something else that we've eliminated from our house too. And it's just really opened my eyes to the American food system. It's all about quick and convenient. And ever since World War II, when women went to work, that's where all of these convenience foods started getting processed and manufactured because now women were working too. The men come home from World War II. Now we can have two incomes. Like, look what we can do with our families. So, like, we need to make families more functional. So let's make all of this processed food so the women don't have to spend all day cooking. And I truly think that was like the cornerstone that shifted the American family from being like so holistic and having all these healthy foods to living on the dual income and the processed foods that we live on now. I do feel like that was a turning point for our country. And I'm not saying it's terrible that women work too, but it's something to consider there. Like out of all of the developed countries, I can't remember this exact statistic, but the United States spends the least amount of our income on food. All of the other developed countries take quality of food a lot more seriously than Americans do. And the reality is food was never meant to be cheap. And it used to be a lot of your time was spent making food, growing food, raising food for and preserving food for the rest of your family for the whole year. And this is prior to modern medicine and all that we had. And I don't know, I just have a lot of thoughts about like the process in our food systems and then medicine and just the shift from our ancestors. And I truly believe our ancestors were living such a healthier life than we are now.
Well, everything is built on convenience and making someone money.
Yes.
It is not beneficial, put this in quotes, for the economy for us to be self-sufficient, attuned to what our families need, understand and know our bodies.
And be healthy.
It's not. Our medical system is not set up to actually support our health. It is meant to like fix our ailments.
Yes, it's a sick care system for sure. And it's frustrating. Something I've got asked a lot is, well, does insurance or your sharing network cover functional medicine or natural medicine? And most times the answer is no. I do think there are a few sharing networks that do cover a holistic approach to medicine, but most of them don't. So my body was obviously like in survival mode. All these alarms were going off. I had all these crazy symptoms. Like if I wouldn't have figured it out, like how long until I start developing all these other chronic diseases? I probably wouldn't have been long, like probably less than 10 years, I would have had some other chronic thing going on. So my husband and I really came to the realization like, yeah, it's worth it to us to spend that money now. Like, yeah, it was a sacrifice that we had to pay that. But like, also, what is feeling good worth? Feeling like, I started to say this earlier, but I don't think I finished my thought. Like having headaches every day was so hard. And then going on that detox journey was hard and intimidating and literally switching everything in my pantry using different flour, different pastas, being so aware of reading every single label like a lunatic, like that was also hard, but like choose your heart, Jenna. Do you want to be miserable every single day? Or do you want to be diligent about what comes into your house and what you put into your body so that you can feel good for your family? And to me, now looking back, like that was definitely, I chose the right heart.
Well, it's like, goes back to that quote, like you either pay for your wellness or you pay for your sickness.
Yes. So that's what we were saying. Like, yeah, you invest in your health now or you pay for your sickness later from chronic disease, from these issues that are going, just getting masked with pharmaceuticals or just never finding the root cause and truly healing your body. Like our bodies weren't meant to function with all of these artificial things that we put into our bodies and all of these pharmaceuticals that we're masking with. Like that's not how God designed the earth or our bodies to function. Like he designed the earth to sustain us. Like why is man interfering and trying to make all these artificial things? It's just like you said, it's all for convenience. And it's sickening the more that you think about it.
It is. Okay, but I think this brings up a really interesting conversation, specifically because of the industry that we exist in, is like, how does all of this fit into the ag space, specifically, you know, as row crop farmers or as producers? Like, how do we navigate this going forward?
Yeah.
How does anyone have these conversations?
I'll be honest, like I've felt like a hypocrite. Like is our farming practices, is this truly what's best for the environment? Is this truly what's best for our family? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of buzz out there about GMO products. There's also a lot of misinformation out there about genetically modified organisms. I feel like a lot of people don't even know what GMO stands for, but they're against them. And I think there's a lot of information. Gosh, yeah. Like, I mean, I could get on a full tangent about food labels, but the non-GMO label is just a marketing scheme at the grocery store, because 90% of the foods that you see that non-GMO label on don't even have a GMO counterpart. So like there's no such thing as GMO wheat, but almost every box of pasta you can find says non-GMO. That's probably not the greatest example, because I do think GMO wheat is coming down the pipeline, but there's only like 10 or 12 GMO crops. Yeah.
And for you, the GMO wasn't the problem. It was the gluten.
It was the gluten. I bring this up though, because like GMOs have allowed farmers to preserve resources. It's allowed us to grow more on less land. It's allowed us to grow crops with less water. It's allowed us to like spray way fewer chemicals to keep those crops nurtured. So it's like, there's a lot of hate going out there around conventional farming. But yeah, I live this crunchier lifestyle. I've been on this health journey, but I do feel like our farming practices are still what's necessary to provide the fuel and the food that our world needs. Like all of the corn that we grow actually goes into making ethanol that has corn's byproduct in it. Like if that's what the corn that we grow is used for. So it's like, there's all this hate out there, but it's like, you can't like pick and choose. You can't say, oh, you're a bad farmer or you're bad, like ruining the environment, and we want you to spray less, but we also don't want you to use GMO crops. Like you have to pick one.
Mm-hmm. When I think even on our practices, like something to take away from our conversation, just with our functional health journeys and with our families, is the willingness to try different things and to seek different ideas. And, you know, Andrew is like the first one to try all sorts of weird, crunchy, out there things on our very conventional farm and experiment with it and admit when it doesn't work and try something new. But there's like such a fear societally of like breaking outside of the norm or trying different things or going against what everyone else is doing. And so if there's anything that someone listening takes away from this conversation, is an invitation to ask questions and seek outside of the norm and really advocate for what's best for you, your family, your operation, your business. Like there is no one right way to do thing. And it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, you can know that essential oils are beneficial and also use Tylenol when you have to. Or like you can see a functional health provider or a chiropractor or whatever, and also, you know, have a doctor that helps you with things that only Western medicine can. You can seek therapy or be a part of X, Y, and Z and also support yourself in other ways. Like more of us exist somewhere in the middle than it seems because everything is so black and white, left, right, this person, that person. Like the people with the loudest opinions are often the most polarized, but ultimately you get to decide what works for your family. And there is opportunity to feel better than the way you're feeling now because you know your own body. And that's a whole other conversation about the way that we, especially women, are intentionally distracted from trusting our intuition.
Yes. Mic drop.
And that's a whole nother podcast episode.
I like what you said about, like, I feel like sometimes we hide it. Like, oh, I use essential oils. I better hide my diffuser when my friend comes over that thinks it's weird. Or if you do decide a more natural approach to your children's health and your health, I feel like a lot of people keep that in. Because I remember when I kind of started questioning modern medicine and different things, and then I have some friends, it's like, I brought it up and asked the questions like, oh my gosh, I'm questioning that too. Or I'm already doing that. Or I'm already not doing that. And then it's like, you bond over that. Now some of those are my best friends. I feel like I would encourage you to just advocate for yourself and your family and be so grounded in that and know that that's right for your family. That was what was hard for me, because I was trained modern medicine. I worked with other medical professionals that are trained modern medicine, and my beliefs have definitely shifted. But I do feel like I believe so strongly in the healing that my family has received. Like, you cannot question how much better we feel, how much better my son's behavior is, how healed he is, how healed I am. Like, I don't even care what people think anymore, because at the end of the day, your true circle will clap for you. And if you're having to hide that, then like, maybe those aren't the right people to be around, or maybe you just haven't found your circle or your right people to be around. And I've just really had to lean into my husband and our beliefs and just truly just know this is where God has led us. This is what's best for our family. Like, I don't care what the world thinks. I don't care what the doctors think I should be doing. Like, there is more out there, and there's room for all of these different ways to care for your body at the table.
Right. It's okay and wonderful to be in community with people who have different ideas and perspectives, because we're all in our own journey. But if you feel like you're not being supported in the things you want to try or what you know is best, like, then get connected with people who are on similar paths, because that is so life-giving.
It is life-giving.
Jenna, one question I ask everyone on this show is, what does personal growth look like for you in this season?
That's a really great question. I feel like I have grown tremendously in the last couple of years, like physically, emotionally, mentally, my mental health, all of that journey that I went on got into a very, very dark place. So personal growth for me today looks like prioritizing the things that put me in my best self. So like, every morning I do a really quick gratitude journal. It's called the 5-minute journal. I do it every morning, every evening, practicing that daily gratitude. That's like a great place to start, I feel like, in any sort of growth. Practicing that gratitude like floods your whole body with endorphins and getting your mindset correctly. And then exercise. I exercise every single morning, even if it's something very simple. If I don't exercise, because I exercise before my family wakes up, the whole family has a better day. On the days I don't work out, the whole family suffers. And I don't know why that is. I just feel better. I can be a better mom. I can be a better wife. So personal growth for me now is just knowing those things that I need, that my family needs to function at our best, and doing them with no excuses.
Yeah, you're part of like the early workout club.
I do wake up at like 5 a.m., y'all, which I was a night shifter. So that's a big deal.
Well, that's a whole other story. Like, nurses who work night shift are built different, because that's hard.
It is hard. And I was in the motion. I was doing it. I didn't realize how negatively it was affecting my family until I wasn't doing it anymore. And some people thrive on it, but not me.
All right, Jenna, where can we connect with you? Where can people find you online, learn more about your journey, and just stay up to date on everything that you have to offer in the world?
Yeah, you bet. You can find me on Instagram at my name, Jenna Ochsner. It's JenaOchsner. I really wish it was phonetically simple, but it's Jenna with one N, and my last name is not easy. You can find me on my website at www.00farms.com. You can also buy our homegrown beef there that we ship nationwide. You can also find my podcast at Beyond the Crops. So me and another farm wife kind of dive into topics like this, agronomy topics, anything to do with agriculture and beyond.
Love it, love it. And hey, I married into a weird last name too. Like Russell, most people aren't saying it right the first time. I totally understand.
It's true. It's very true.
That's okay. It's all right. I was a Schmidt previously. What about you?
Gangwish, which sounds scary, but it's phonetically exactly how it, like Gangwish. Phonetically, it's spelled how it sounds.
Much easier.
Much easier.
Thanks for being here today, Jenna. I really appreciate you.
Thanks so much, Emily.
Have I told you today how much I appreciate you? I'd like to imagine this was a meaningful backyard patio kind of chat between friends sipping LaCroix at sunset. If you enjoyed today's show, please take a screenshot to share or forward this episode to a friend. You can also find me at Emily Rushell over on social to continue the conversation. It's truly a joy to hear what tidbits and takeaways made an impact on your day. As always, all links and resources mentioned in today's episode can be found in the show notes listed below or over at emilyrushell.com. Special thanks to my podcast manager, Jill Carr, for the time and love she puts into producing Gather and Growth for this community. What a blessing it is to be on this personal growth journey together. Forever grateful for you.